As a counterpoint to the 137th Psalm, which we did last time, Al Naharot Bavel, which is also the Shir HaMa'alot that we say in benching during the week, we are going to do the 126th Psalm, which is the Shir HaMa'alot that we say before benching on Shabbos or Yontif. And in fact, the two of them are related in the time that they were composed. They are related in point-counterpoint. You've got one which is all sadness and brokenhearted, and this one is all about redemption and the turning around of the tides and coming back to Eretz Yisrael. So you've got exile, and you have here the return. Now, you'll see that it's a rather short mizmor. It's only six verses. With two of them being having a double couplet. But it packs a wallop, as you will soon see. Now, in order to be able to learn this, I wanted you to be aware a little bit about the historicity. We talked last time about the various arguments as to when Al Naharot Bavel was written. And today we're going to be looking at when this was probably written. Most of our Mefarshim agree that this is not necessarily written prophetically about something that's going to happen after 70 years in Golus, but rather they look at it as something that was this written by somebody who lived through the return from Babylonia to Eretz Yisrael. Nevertheless, it has some prophetic images of something that was not yet fulfilled at that time. That's why I wanted you to get a certain sense of a timeline of Jewish history. And after the initial galut of the court, after Jehoiachin and most of the Kohanim, the Levim, all make it to Babel, there is a period of approximately 11 to 12 years in which we lived under subjugation of the Babylonians. And at that point, we fomented a rebellion against them, trying to become independent again. And that brought their crushing hand down. And at that time, Yerushalayim and Beit HaMikdash were destroyed. And the great exile occurred. That great exile left purely a handful of people in the land of Israel. A handful meaning a few thousand. Yirmiyahu, the prophet, remains with them at that time. And then a few short years afterwards, we have an additional attempt to rebel. That is something that we then celebrate, if you like, through a fast day called Tzom Gedalia, in which the governor of Eretz Yisrael, of Judea, was murdered by Jews who felt that he was, if you like, a lackey of the Babylonians. And at that point, all hell broke loose. Even the remnant that was there were killed. There was major massacre, and Yirmiyahu flees. And at that point, we have the beginning of 70 years, of which we are to remain in Golus. During this period of time, the primacy of the Babylonians is removed, and instead the Persians, together with the Medians, rebel against Babylonia, beginning of the Persian Empire. So what you have is the entire Fertile Crescent first under control of the Assyrians. They take over and it's under the Babylonians. Now it's under the Persians. And I made mention last time that it was under Cyrus the Great that that Persian Empire became even bigger than it had previously been. They controlled all of what we would call the Near East, all the way from India, right, all the way to North Africa, and even parts of Europe, Turkey, and the Balkans. And of course, eventually they will be wiped out by the rise of the Greeks. Okay? But betwixt and between, we have this man, Cyrus the Great, who had been mentioned in Yeshayahu. And the Jews come to him and tell him, it's been 70 years, and God has made you his anointed one. And he gives permission for the Jews to go back to Israel, and giving them, if you like, a certain measure of autonomy, and that they can rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. They were now given permission to go back to Eretz Yisrael. But Eretz Yisrael had laid desolate. Oh yes, the Edomites took over large parts of it once the Babylonians had destroyed Am Yisrael. They came in, and that's why we read in Anahavot Bavel our fury and rage about Edom. But they didn't actually succeed very well, frankly. They didn't succeed very well because Eretz Yisrael did not produce for any nation except for us. Previous to that, 200 years earlier, when the northern tribes, the Aseret HaShvatim, were taken into exile by Assyria, the Assyrians transplanted into Eretz Yisrael people from the Isles, from the Greek Isles, and people from the Far East. They used to do a lot of population transfer, not unlike what Stalin did. Okay? And so we have other peoples that are in the land of Israel. And when the Jews begin to return, they want to put a stop to this. Does this all sound a little familiar? And they try to make a stop to it by informing Koresh that the Jews are not going to simply be an autonomous country, but under your empire. They are really fomenting a rebellion. And then the Beit HaMikdash was stopped for a number of years, and the construction stopped, and the waves of Aliyah were stopped. At which point later on, the prophets and other leaders in Babylonia came to Cyrus and explained that this is not the case, and that he's seen as their great hero, etc., etc., and it was renewed, such that later on it was rebuilt. Now, I wanted you to see what some of the prophets of that period describe for us. And I gave you two sources, two chapters in Haggai, who's living at this period of time. And we're told as follows, in the second year of Dariush, the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, came the word of Hashem, and I read it to you in English so that you'd be able to make sense of what was happening here. And he told him to go speak to the governor and the others that had already come to Eretz Yisrael to try to revive the settlement and to build Beit HaMikdash, telling them as follows, Zratem harbeh v'haveh me'at. You try to become a self-sufficient society that could support itself. You did a lot of planting. In fact, the Medrash tells us that they actually withheld grain from their own, that they would be able to grind for food, so that they would have enough seed to be able to plant. And they planted, but the yield was terribly disappointing. Therefore, Zratem harbeh, Vehave me'at, echol ve'en lesova. You can eat, but not enough to satiate yourself. Shato ve'en lesacha. You have enough to drink, but not nearly enough to get drunk on. Vehamistaker, mistaker el tzro nakuv. And the people that are working for wages are working in such a way that they're putting their money into a pocket that has a hole in it. Everything you take in, more goes out. People can't make a living. That's the situation. I want you to look at your ways and see why this is happening. Go up to that mountain, the Temple Mountain, and take along wood. I know you don't have stone. A house. Build a house. It can't be ideal, so it won't be ideal. Do what you can. Ve'otzebo. I want this house. It will appease me. It's good. Ve'chabda. And I will see it as an honor to me, Amar Hashem. It doesn't have to be glorious. it's okay, but build a house. They were so poor that they thought that, how could we build a house? Why is it that you looked for more, you hoped for much, and got so little? The reason is, Yan Beiti Asher Hu Charav, for my house, the temple is destroyed. V'atem ratzim ish liveto, while you are all running each to your own house, taking care of yourselves, trying to make a scrabble living, and you're not looking to rebuild Beit HaMikdash. You see, after they had paused, they couldn't bring themselves back to doing it again. And it was like, it's so pathetic. We've got no money. How are we going to build this? And who's coming here to do it? Al ken alechem kalua shamayim mital. Therefore, the heavens were refraining from giving due. Ve'aretz kal'a yivula. And the earth is holding back its yield. And this is why I have called for drought on the mountains, on the earth. There's no grain, there's no wine, there's no oil. This is the reason. You need to build Beit HaMikdash. And that was in the second year of Daryavesh. Now it is the seventh year of Daryavesh. We're told that he came with a message. Tell, again, Zerubbabel, who has been the governor of Yehuda, and to the Kohen Gadol, and to the rest of the people. Mi bachem hanish'ar asher ra'a et ha'bayit hazeh b'chvodo ha'rishon? Who amongst you lived at the time when the first bayit existed and you saw it in its glory? U'me'atem ro'im oto? And how do you look at what you have right now? By now they have built this wooden temple. Ata halo kamo ka'ayin b'enechem. In your eyes, it's as good as nothing in your eye. You think that what you've done is pretty pathetic. But I'm telling you, be strong, be courageous. Ani itchem, I'm with you. You did this, it was the best you could do, I'm with you. Et hadavar asher karati etchem betzeitchem mimitzrayim. I will keep my word, the covenant that I made with you when I took you out of Egypt. And there I told you that I would be with you. Ruchi omedet betochechem. My spirit remains steadfast inside you. Because remember, he said, Asuli Mikdash v'shachanti betocham. If you make a Mikdash, I will dwell in you. So I'm telling you now that even though it looks pathetic, it's small, it's barely wooden, nothing like the one that had before, built by Shlomo HaMelech, it's good enough. I'm with you. Al tirau. Do not fear. Ki ko amar Hashem tzvakot, for so says Hashem. Od echat me'at hi. Just a little bit more. Just a little while. Vani marish et hashamayim ve ta'aretz ve ta'yam ve ta'charava. And I will quake and shake the heavens and the earth, the seas and the dry land. V'hirashti et kol hagoyim. And I will quake and shake all those nations. Uvau, and they will come. Chemdat kol hagoyim, the most lovely of all of the nations. Umileti et habayit hazeh kavod, and I will fill this house, this little small wooden house, I will fill it with my glory, with my essence. For li hakesef veli hazahav, because gold is mine, silver is mine, and I can ultimately beautify it. You will do well. Gadol yiyeh kvod habayit hazeh acharon, the beauty, the glory of this last house will be greater than the first one. Because later on, of course, they went when they could afford it and made it into stone. And then it was even expanded later on by Holdus. And it was considered the most glorious building. Some say that this is also a prophecy, not for the second bayit, but for the third one, that the third one will be greater than the first. Ubamakom hazeh eten shalom, and in this place I will give peace. Zechariah hanavi, comes and gives a message comparable to what Haggai tells us. And he says as follows, Kineti leZion kina gdola, v'chema gdola kineti la. This great jealous for her, what they've done to her, God is jealous, as one would, right? How dare you do this to my Zion? Ko amar Hashem, shavti el Zion, I will come back to Zion. Vishachanti betoch Yerushalayim, and I will again dwell inside Yerushalayim, because at Galut Bavel there was also Galut HaShechina. The Shechina left with them, you understand? Vinikra'a Yerushalayim ir ha'emet, and Yerushalayim will be called the city of truth, the Har Hashem Tzvakot Har HaKodesh, and this mountain of God will be called the holy mountain. Ko amar Hashem Tzvakot, and we are yet waiting. I told you, it was to encourage his people then, but to foretell Emil Tzashem what yet will come. Od yeshvu skenim uskenot b'rchovot Yerushalayim. There will again sit old ladies and old men in the streets of Yerushalayim, each leaning on his cane because of their old age. Why was that so extraordinary? Because the first to die in the siege, in the hunger, were the old people and the babies and the children. So people didn't see old people anymore. And we had not something very similar in the ghettos. The first ones taken out were the old and the young. The first ones into the gas chambers were the old and the young. And yet this image of the streets of Yerushalayim having old men and old women, and then it continues, Uchovot ha'ir yimal'u, and the streets of the city will be filled, Yeladim v'yeladot misachakim b'rechovoteha, little girls and little boys playing in the streets. Today, Baruch Hashem, we can see this. This has come to be. This, who would have thunk, you understand? Who would have imagined out of a churban that we had that this would happen? Ko amar Hashem tzvakot, so says Hashem. Oh, ki yifale b'enei she'erit ha'am haseh. Is this too wondrous for the poor remnant of the people that have come back? Bayamim ahem gam b'enei yifale. In those days, in the days to come, it will be even wondrous in my eyes, says Hashem. Can you imagine it beyond your imagination that God says it'll be even wondrous in my eyes? Ko amar Hashem tzvakot, hineni moshiyet ami me'eretz mizrach u'me'eretz mevo ha'shemesh. I am going to bring my people from the far east and from the far west where the sun sets. Ve'heveti otam, and I will bring them here, v'shachnu b'toch Yerushalayim, and they will be here, and they'll settle in Yerushalayim. V'hayu li le'am, and they'll become my people again. V'hayi ani ehye lahem le'elokim, and I will again be their God, be'emet u'bitztaka, in truth, in faithfulness, in righteousness. Ko amar Hashem tzvakot, techezakna yedeichem, strengthen your arms. Hashomim bayamim ha'ele tadvarim ha'ele. Those of you that are hearing this right now, he says, be courageous, be strong, keep doing what you're doing. For the day that the Beit HaMikdash will be built, and you will start building it, ki lifnei hayamim ahem schar adam lo niya. Because before you built it, a person's wages were as if they weren't there. Uschar ha'beimain, and the work of an animal wasn't there. In other words, they worked for naught. And those that are coming and going have no peace from the enemy. And I had one person fighting with the other, and there was all this strife amongst us. But I, now I'll be different to this remnant. Ki zera hashalom, because they are planting, sowing peace. Hagefen titen piria, the vines will give their fruit. Ve'aretz titen et yivula, and the earth will give its yield. Ve'ashamayim yitnu tilam, and the heavens will give their due. והנחלתי את שארית העם הזה, את כל אלה. And I will cause the remnant to inherit all of this. It'll all be theirs. Pretty incredible that we actually are living in an age when we saw and we see all of this, where we see how the desert now can bloom. We have taken the impossible, or it looked like the impossible, against all odds. We've made the place bloom. Who would have imagined this? And it's in that background that I wanted you to understand that it's at this period of time that this mizmor is written. Shir HaMa'alot. Beshuv Hashem et Shivat Zion. When God comes back, or when God returns, et Shivat Zion, when God returns, Shevi is captivity, the captivity of Zion, those that were taken captives. Hayinu kecholmim, we were like dreamers. Az, then, but now we have a strange thing. Instead of saying az, past tense, it says az yimale, future tense. Then will our mouths fill with laughter. Tzchok, not tzchok. Tzchok with a tzadi is laughter in which a person still has bitterness in the heart. It's a mocking laughter. Tzchok is all joy. And at that time, our mouths will fill with joyous laughter. Ulshoneinu rina, and our tongues will sing this glorious song. Then? Or did it happen already? Is it occurring? Is it not occurring? And the craziest part about it is, what is the word shuv? Now, in English, the word return is both a transitive verb and a non-transitive verb. In English, I say, I return to my home. I also say, I returned the book to the library. In Ivrit, I would say, Ani shava habaita, Ani mishiva et hasefer lasifria. I use a different tense to make it a transitive verb. The word beshuv is a non-transitive verb. So while it translates in English return, in fact it doesn't mean this. Consequently, the Zohar HaKodesh says, don't treat this verb as if it were a transitive verb to say God is returning the captivity. He's returning the remnant of Zion back to Eretz Yisrael. That's not what he's doing. It means instead when God comes back with the remnant of Israel. So what do I take with the word with? Et. Et has two functions in Ivrit. Very difficult word which has no translation in any Western language that I know of. Typically, it comes before the object of the verb. Shatiti et hamayim. Karati et hasefer. But because Hebrew can do as follows, et hasefer karati, and I can write it that way, I stick it in front of the word that is the object of the verb to indicate which is the verb and which is the subject. What's the subject? What's the predicate? So the word et has that function. But the word et is an homonym, spelled the same, sound the same. And this one comes from the ant, aleph, nun taf. It is an Aramaic word that means you. And it is also the root of the word and, or along with. So it says, et ha-elokim hitalech Noach. And we translate it, with God walked Noach. Et is not the same as im, with an ayin. Im means two equals walking side by side. Et is when you have a mother holding the hand of a child, and she is schlepping him along for the ride. So who brings the Shechina back to Tzion? Does God bring us back? Do we go back to Tzion and bring him back with us? For he comes wherever we go. Imo anochi, I am with you. Isn't that what Zechariah told you? I am with you. I was with you in Golos. I was with you in your troubles. And if you go to Eretz Yisrael, God will return. So this really should read and be translated according to the Zohar is, when God returns along with the return of Tzion. Not the captivity of Tzion, because notice the word Shevi means captive. Lashevet, to sit. Lashuv, to return. The verse can read as follows. When God takes back the captives of Tzion, we were like dreamers. Or, when God took back those that would choose to return to Tzion. Or, when God came along with the returners to Tzion, then we were like dreamers. Then, when the Shechina would return, our mouths would be filled with laughter. Then we would be able to sing. Because when we came back, it wasn't that way. What did happen when we came back? We could barely make a living. It was so hard. People were close to starvation. The goyim stopped them coming. They screamed and said, it's a rebellion. They put a stop to it. They said, you can't come in anymore. And we were stuck out there. You understand? Mm-hmm. And that's why you will see why we need to read line 4, Pasuk Dalet. Shuva Hashem et. And you see, we have a kriyati, shvutenu, shvitenu. Bring back. Well, I thought he already brought it back. Didn't he come back? But if it means instead, come back, God, along with us. We're asking you to come back. Then the whole thing makes sense. When God will come back, then we will be able to laugh. Has he come back yet? No. He has not come back. Then, when he will come back, Yomru Bagoyim, Higdil Hashem Lasot Im Eile. Now, typically this is translated that the nations will all declare, oh, God did great things for these people. They'll finally recognize it. In the United Nations, they'll say, yeah, 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 and then, of course, they'll say, nay, nay, nay. Who cares what the nations say? If it wanted to say what the nations would say, it should say, as yomru hagoyim. What does it say there? Bagoyim. Then they will say, among the nations. Who will say? Well, how many people came back to Eretz Yisrael with Ezra and Nehemiah? A mere pittance. A mere pittance. Ah, you don't want to go there. You're going to die of hunger. You can't go there. They're going to kill you. No, mekenish gain. No good. But when they built that first Beit HaMikdash of wood, a tiny little house, and the Shechina returned, then word went out, as yomru, in parentheses, hayehudim shebagoyim, all the Jews that are amongst the nations, they will wake up and they will say, higdil Hashem la'asot imele. God did great things for these people. When did we have a revival? When did people start coming back? When was the Baal Tshuva movement? 1967. Jews behind the Iron Curtain woke up. It was open miracles. Jews in America became proud and put the kippahs on, even outdoors. Before 1967, did girls go to seminary from high school? Did they go to learn in yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael? What, are you crazy? Maybe, in fact, this is foretelling a process. The daring ones came. They did what they needed to do. They lived a hard scrabble life, and they weren't quite having God with them. They thought if they just planted, that would be good enough. Didn't work. So Hashem told them, build. So they started building yeshivas, and they started building shuls. And they remembered that this is not merely a country for Jews. This is a Jewish country. And when they did that, then of course suddenly word went out and great miracles occurred. Igdil Hashem la'asot im eile. God did great things for them. Ah, so what are we saying? That is what will occur. Therefore, in the meantime, what do I pray for? Comes the prayer. Shuva Hashem et shviteinu. Bring back the rest of the Eden, all of them. Bring them back to Eretz Yisrael. How? Kafikim b'negev. Unless you've been in the Negev in the winter, you can't begin to imagine what this is like. And afik is a vadi. A vadi is a riverbed that is dry most of the year. And you go down to the Negev and you don't see anything. But it rains higher up in the Negev Mountains, or it rains up in the Hermon. And out of the blue suddenly comes this roaring sound. And if you've ever experienced it, it really sounds like a train is coming. And you have this dry riverbed that suddenly has a wall of water coming out of it. And that's why every year there are drownings in the Negev, that dry Negev. And overnight you see a desert blooming. There's flowers all over the place. It's like, this is a desert. But it comes at you all at once when you least expect it. So he's saying, God, bring back all of our returnees, all of our captives. Bring them back like afikim b'negev, which you don't expect it. You don't even know where it's coming from. And suddenly it comes rushing at you. Hundreds of thousands arrive. This is their vision for their future. Meanwhile, Hazorim bidima, those that plant with tears, crying as they go along, crying because they've had to withhold food from their mouths to keep the seed so they can plant it. Berina yiktzol will reap in joyous song. Haloch yelech uvachom. They will walk, they will walk, they will cry. As they go there, they have nowhere else to go to. And who is this that's crying? Nosem meshech hazera. He's carrying this sack full of seed. And as he's planting it, he cries because he's got nothing to eat at home. And this is the last grain that he has that he could make bread from. But instead, he's going to plant it. It's the last that we have. Bo yavo, but then he will come indeed, berina, in joyous song, nose alumotav, carrying his sheaves. It was pointed out that the one that sows is not necessarily the one that reaps. We sometimes plant crying. And the ones that reap are the next generations that are going to come and get it. They will come. Now I want to show you a little bit about why we call this Ma'alot and what makes this artistry so absolutely gorgeous. You will see that what we do here is we have a word that then is repeated and covers like an echo. Beshuv Hashem et Shivat Zion. Hayinu kecholmim. You will repeat this line again in the fourth verse. So you can almost take this entire poem and divide it into two. Shuva Hashem et shviteinu ka'afikim banegev, right? But then in between you've got as follows. Az yimale schok pinu, az yomru bagoyim. You see that? And you've got ulshoneinu rina. Our tongues will be filled with rina. Did you notice that rina appears once, twice, three times, echoing? Not a wonder that this mizmor was set to music and had music composed to it throughout the generation. So all of you know a song that goes for this one, because it's in fact full of song, song, song. You will also notice this follows. You will say, Haloch Yelech. He will walk, he will walk. And the reason we say it is that this walking, this plodding along, isn't happening like that with a snap of a finger. It's a long, drawn-out process, isn't it? And instead of laughter, you've got crying. But the next line is, Bo Yavo. Again, not instantaneous Yavo, but come, and then come again in waves. Come, come again. On one side, Nose Meshe Chazara, carrying that sack of seed. And on the next one, carrying his sheaves, bringing in the harvest. Both of them, Nose, Nose. You see that? So what we do is we play point, counterpoint, point, counterpoint, over and over again. When this was written, based on what you can see, it doesn't tell you who the author is. Did the Yeshua happen yet? Obviously not, because that would occur as then. But what would happen was whoever saw this in a vision as if he were dreaming. This was my dream. This is the vision that I saw. And what did I see? So am I having here the affirmation of the nations, or am I having affirmation of all of them among the nations? Those Jews that have so assimilated among the nations that they too are awakened to return. And that's why I have two stages. When God came back with Shivat Zion, those are the people that came back with Ezra and Nehemiah. Shuva Hashem et Shviteinu is the rest of the Eden that will come back later. Ultimately, how many came back from Babylonia? 20%. 20%. What happened to the rest of them? Assimilated. Lost. For us, we can say the same thing. There were those who dared and started building a country. And foreseeing that they were planting with tears, with a high death rate, with malaria, with starvation, hoping one day that what? All of them would return. And this time, prophetically, from the far, just as the prophet told us, from the far east, from the far west, even among those that didn't know for sure that they were Jews, whether it was from Ethiopia, whether it was from China, whether it was the Bnei Yisrael from India, who had been dispersed since the days of the Assyrian exile, and then the Babylonian exile, and then the Roman exile, etc.